This is CliffCentral.com.
I am practicing my voice, you know. I'm getting warmed up. That's what CS sounds like when he warms up his voice.
That's great. Absolutely. Because I'm often compared to Pavarotti with my vocal range, so I have to.
Just Rotti.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's a Tuesday. We are here for you live this morning. Keep your company.
Live and alive.
You like all our plants, Mubs?
So something new, sorry?
Oh, come on.
What?
Jesus, you're so observant. A snake could be under you right now. And you were...
Oh, and there's... Whoa, you got trees in building all of a sudden.
We've got trees in here. Are you kidding?
Wow.
Yeah, it's all happening.
Sure, okay.
All right. So... There is quite a lot to get to today. I got plenty. I'm very excited about sharing a whole lot of stuff with you today. I got some TV things I got to talk about. You know, I love that E network, right?
E Entertainment.
Oh my God!
What?
They're so great.
It's his favorite.
In Ryan Seacrest's channel.
Yes. I love it so.
Okay. Remind us again what you love about it.
Oh, I love the way that they get so excited about the stuff I don't get excited about. Like the Met Gala and Harry and Meghan's wedding. And,
yes.
Yeah, they get very excited. And I don't know where they get these presenters from, but there's... what's the girl's name? She's...
Juliana Rancid.
Juliana Rancid.
Is she still there?
She... presents the red carpet specials.
That's it.
So she's not a daily presenter.
And they flew
anymore.
Her in for the royal wedding.
Ooh.
Yes, yes.
And they flew her in for the Met Gala.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she does. She goes and she goes gaga over all this stuff.
Of course.
Get you to all of that in a second. But we do have an important announcement this morning. I thought it was probably something that I wanted Mabale to tell you about. Mubs has been, as you know, handling two jobs. She's had no sleep. No sex, no life.
Are we sure about the sex part?
No, we're sure. You know, Sia, just because I am a madam doesn't mean I get to sample the war.
You don't get high on your own supply.
No, you don't. You just make sure that, you know, the girls and guys are doing their bit to run the business. And
right.
Yeah. So it has been difficult juggling all my responsibilities. And I knew that at some point something would have to give. And so I've decided that...
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
We need some mood music for this. Sorry, go.
Okay. after more than 10 years together, specifically you and I, Gareth, and with my upcoming birthday, a milestone year.
Yes, it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm always the person who says change doesn't always have to be a bad thing.
No. It's a welcome thing, and it's essential, and it's unavoidable.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the time has come for me to bid farewell to the Gareth Cliff Show.
Oh, stop it, Ben. You don't have to make that noise. It's ridiculous.
I think that cry came from the realization that nobody ever got to taste my juice. And nobody ever will.
Mm.
Nobody ever will.
We have a couple more days left, girl.
You're going to make sure you look after yourself.
Can I taste your juice?
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Mubs? It has been 10 years, and we're not going to be sad about this because there are all kinds of exciting things happening for you in your other job, which is television.
Yes.
You're producing a show, and you know what? It has been an amazing 10 years. Remember, Mabali, we found, she called into the show, and she wanted tickets to a concert.
Well, you know, I have a better memory than you do here in this instance.
All right, go on.
Okay.
Well, Gareth, you said that you were trying to get more black people to go to a rock concert.
Yes, because rock concerts and black people are not really, it's a bit like oil and water,
I mean,
usually.
It's not really our scene. Really our vibe.
I'm always the fan of the individual outlier, but most black people, not Guns N' Roses fans, you know?
No. Yeah, so I hustled up a few people and you gave us a whole stack of tickets and met you for the first time in Durban.
That's right.
And
the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
10 years. And is there anything your father would like to say about this? Because I know he thinks this was a terrible idea for you to come and work with me.
I made a mistake and I apologize for it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my dad was furious with you.
Yes.
Because when I joined 5FM, I was busy with my honors degree in medical microbiology, and he didn't understand what life choice I was making.
Give it up for the stupid radio show. Yeah.
His exact words were, "Is that even a real job?"
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right.
My goodness. Right.
But
We were up against very strong odds.
Oh, you and I both, my guy. Yeah. I basically got disowned. Luckily, my mom was there to smooth things over. But you were never forgiven, by the way.
No, listen, if I go anywhere near Kwakwa, there's a death threat and there's a fatwa.
There's a call out for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. No, forget about it. But I don't want anyone to be sad because we have lots of exciting plans. This is not going to mean that your entertainment is going to be in any way marred. And Mabale will, when she has time, occasionally stick her head in and say hi.
Yes, I will.
And, you know, she's going to have a life, and you should wish for her to have a life. She is not a workhorse pack mule who can be loaded up with jobs and be forced to work 24/7. It's not fair. And peace and love, Mubs, is what you're trying to tell people.
Peace and love, peace and love.
So people saying, oh, dear Lord, no. Mubs, don't go. You are the juice that holds the show together. That's Kelly. Someone here just goes, no, with 1,000 O's afterwards. Someone says, no, 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 fuck no. Can we still taste your juice?
Oh.
Well, that's never happened, so I don't know what you're talking about. You must be insane. And lots of other messages just saying, oh, my buddy, we're going to miss you. There's some very sweet and heartfelt ones here that I'm obviously not going to read because you don't want to hear those. I will miss you so much, says one person here. Listen to this, my buddy. This is very heartfelt. This is a deep and sensitive thought from somebody called Mash, who says, Mubs, we will miss you too much. I won't ask to taste your juice. You see how thoughtful. Wishing you all the best. Please visit so we can hear from you, since we'll never see you on your daily updated social media.
Yes, wow, guys.
Yes, because that's where you could follow her. If you want to look at 2008, when she last posted a picture on Instagram, you can go and have a look. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And someone says, lots of love. Fuck it. I'm just going to ask, can I taste your juice from Mash? See, he couldn't hold back.
Yeah.
But yes, don't let this get you down, everybody. Mm-mm. You know, change is, it's something that happened when we left traditional radio. CS and Tabo decided to stick around at the SABC. Of course, life got horrible for them, but we won't go down that road. And then when we came here, then Leanne fell in love and moved to the Cape.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended in tears. But don't let that be it. Then Damon left to go and work as a slave for his wife Bernice and make perfumes in a sweatshop. And life went badly. But let's not judge all of this on the Mubs will be the outlier. And then Flax left and we never heard from him again. He moved to Durban and he's disappeared from sight. He used to be the most busy on social media and he could be dead, but don't let that color your judgment.
Okay, I see what you're doing. No,
Mubs is going into great things, and I really do wish you well, Mubs. We love you very much.
Thank you, and the love is returned.
All right, now back to the show.
Right,
People, and you're not sentimental, I'm not sentimental, we've got to move on.
Yep.
So can I tell you about this E! Network? Because first, let's start with the Met Gala. So I've heard some audio from the Met Gala. I don't know how many people are in the studio. You know the Met Gala these days, they wear these dresses. And it's a big fashion show, really. I don't know what they do. Do they have a dinner?
The Met Gala, yeah, there's a full-on show inside because the entire...
Fashion show?
Yeah, it's a part fashion. This year, Madonna performed.
Whoa.
Rihanna co-hosted with Anna Wintour. Can we please say...
Jesus. All right. Well, no wonder these gay guys who were on this show. It was like the gay moon landing. You've never
Did
heard.
You really just say
yeah,
that?
You have never heard such excitement. I have never heard this excitement. The World Cup comes by every 4 years. We get up for that. Ben and I are very excited about it. I do love the World Cup, but I've never loved anything I defy anybody to tell me they've loved anything this much. Just listen to these people. It's Juliana Rancid and the rest of them. And they're busy getting, they're all excited in the studio. You can hardly hear what they're saying. And there's an overload of emotion and just incredible excitement. Levels that you've never heard.
Whoa. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Met Gala live from the red carpet. Yes, let's take a moment. Bella Hadid.
Wow.
Someone tasting her juice.
Oh, listen, there's someone under the dress that she's wearing right now just lapping up.
I wish you could see our faces right now.
This okay. Epic.
So Lily Collins.
Wow.
Now Zoe Kravitz is coming up, so let's take a look.
That was actually a person, that high-pitched song. That was actually a person going... It was not a dog or a puppy that was stood on. Or...
Coming up, so let's take a look.
Hail Queen. Wow. Zoe Kravitz.
All right, please. Hang on. Let's just get into the...
Zoe Kravitz.
Wow.
Have you ever heard people so, and they're just looking, and they, by the way, they're just sitting on the side here in a studio commenting. This is like, you know, in the horse races, you have someone going, and this one coming on the outside, and then they've got those people who are announcing what's going on in the race, but there's nothing to announce here. These are people walking into a room.
But the fashion is too much to handle.
Oh, look. You see, Sierra, you are auditioning secretly for a role on
the fashion.
All right, listen to this.
What do I do? I don't know what to do. You guys are going to have to take the reins on this.
My asshole is so... It's like so moist now.
Huh?
No, but this is...
Oh, my God!
This is also keeping in line with the way people speak nowadays. You know, there's a certain jargon...
The vocal fry.
...that gets used, especially in Hollywood and in entertainment.
...on this. Oh, Vera Wang.
Vera Wang. Oh, my cock just exploded. I'm so turned on right now.
Designed this for Ariana Grande. Oh my goodness. I have no tears left to cry. That's awesome.
But that dress.
You guys.
Oh, that dress.
And they all just spur each other on.
I could not believe this was a... This is a TV show. They pay these people. Can you believe that?
They pay them ridiculous amounts of money, actually.
But that dress.
You guys. Oh,
can we just stop for a second? Yara Shahidi is next. Oh, my gosh.
That actually, the one was fingering herself right there. Did you hear that? She started going.
Amazing scenes.
Yara Shahidi is next. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so here we go. Kim Kardashian West is on the red carpet in Versace.
Whoa, Kim.
Nailed it.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is.
They took the same crew to the
Royal wedding.
Jesus. I mean, if you haven't had your fill already, isn't this great TV? This is great TV, right?
Sure.
It says such a lot about her character from such an early age, doesn't it?
Yes. That pivotal moment, I've been told by so many people. Oh,
here we go. Hang on a minute.
All right, let's just remember this is not any of these women's weddings. This is a person none of them know. They're watching it like anybody. But you would think... I mean, this just gives... You know how my buddy sometimes gets annoyed with chicks when they do stupid shit? And she says, oh, will you stop being embarrassing? Well, these are the girls who get, like, seriously turned on by a royal wedding. But, like, beyond anything that you could imagine. Like, a guy doesn't even get this excited about porn. And these women are falling over themselves. They're so excited. And they're all surmising what's in Meghan's head. and like what's going on, and you know, and how romantic it's going to be. What the dress? Wait till the moment the dress gets revealed. That is the moment. That's like when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. That's like when a Saturn V rocket takes off. That's when, you know, like those moments, those pivotal moments in human history.
Doesn't it?
Yes. That pivotal moment, I've been told by so many people. Oh,
here we go. Hang on a minute. Oh, everybody hold their horses.
Talk about pivotal moments.
So this is a 1950s Rolls Royce. It's the Queen's car.
Wow.
She is traveling in.
Wow. Okay. Right, let's
We need a minute.
She's got a veil!
She's got a veil! No bride has ever had a veil! What are we gonna do? She's got a veil! Jesus Christ! Somebody call the police!
She's got a veil!
Oh my God! I love
this. Is going to be a princess dress. I think it's going to be white. She's got a veil.
I see Dory.
I need to take some deep breaths right now.
Oh my goodness, you guys. My heart is racing so fast.
I can't deal. Oh, my heart is racing so fast.
Yeah, big deal, Gareth. Big deal.
Guys, listen, you don't have to tell me. I mean, I'm excited for them. This is the most exciting thing ever. In fact, I have a recording of my buddy and I watching the royal wedding. Yes.
Ooh, interesting.
I didn't realize I could get that high pitched if I just put my mind to it. But you know, funny enough, what this reminds me of. This reminds me of those football commentators who get so excited within like having a stroke. You know, some of those commentators who, and then when that goal happens and you think to yourself, yo, is this man okay after that? Because really,
absolutely,
he stressed his lungs out for that one.
No, that is true. and there are, listen, just as much as you're gonna mock some of the girls who are super excited about the royal wedding, there are and guys, of course, but there are also very, very excited men who get super turned on by everything that they see on the field.
If you want me, you got me in.
Yeah, well, we know about that.
Was that person speaking English?
But Gail, you know Oprah's friend Gail?
Mm. Yes.
Gail was so excited at the royal wedding. She was just talking over this dude. She asks him, what's your favorite moment? And before he can even answer, she's like, oh, that's my favorite moment too. She railroaded this poor dude. I don't even know why he was there. Gail could have handled this all on her own. And listen to this.
I love his smile, and I love her smile back at him. I love that.
Yes, the smiles were absolutely the highlight. You know, when we break it down, this is like a play-by-play, Ben. Really, if you think about what Nas and Ashwin and once when they got along, what they used to do, they would do a play-by-play. They'd have the board, and then they'd show the move. And then Ashwin go, look at the turn, the left here, Nasca, that is fantastic. And, you know, they do the same thing, really. And the kiss and the smile, it's the same.
Yeah, life is all, everyone's got their own sport in life, whether you like it or not. This is just the same thing.
Yes, exactly.
Different players.
And when he took the veil back off of her face, I love that. Mm-hmm.
I think the moment that encapsulized the day was
encapsulized. There isn't even such a word, but there we go, encapsulized. The moment that encapsulized the day was?
I think the moment that encapsulized the day was when that carriage finally got to the end of the long walk and she took a breath and you saw her grab her chest.
Yes.
And she was like, oh my God, right here.
Oh, so Gail won't even let him have his moment here. He picked that moment out of all the moments.
After all the encapsulizing moments he could have chosen.
And he chose that one. He handpicked that moment. And what does fucking Gail do? She clobbers him right out of the picture and says, yeah, that was my favorite moment too.
Breath, and you saw her grab her chest.
Yes.
And she was like, oh my God, right here. You'll see it right here. Watch it. She's like, oh my God,
oh my
this is crazy.
Yes, I love
and that was so
that
was
too,
a
Kevin.
Great moment. And it just, I could watch that as a meme over and over again.
Me
to say,
too.
Dreams come true.
Oh,
me too. Me too.
Hashtag Kevin. Me too.
Me
yes,
first,
absolutely. Wow. I mean, I really felt I needed to share that with you this morning. What an exciting.
Isn't the world a beautiful place that we can lose our shit over something as trivial as this?
It's great.
The fact that we don't have any major problems like other generations have had, that people can actually, oh my God, I don't know what to do when watching that.
Yeah. Well, silver lining.
Yeah, every generation has their thing, Ben.
Where was the red carpet in 1942 in Europe? Ah, exactly.
Well,
there was no red carpet.
No such frivolities. No such encapsulizing moments.
They were bummed out, Ben. I mean, come on.
And really, if you genuinely get furious at hearing something like this, you also have to question yourself. Why are you investing that much energy into nothing to allow yourself to be upset?
Well, I mean, I know.
Just laugh it off and keep it moving.
I know people on the opposite end of the spectrum who hated the royal wedding. They were furious about it. They upset them and pissed them off. I was like, well, why would you? It's just as dumb to get angry about the royal wedding as it is to get excited about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are like, oh, I'm not going to watch that shit. Like, well, you sound cross. Is there something you want to talk about? Sorry, that was Anthony Bourdain who said that, and we know how that ended. So, anyway, we've got to get to news. It's time for the five things you need to know. What?
I don't want to laugh. I feel bad laughing.
About what? Did I say something funny, Sia? All right, let's get to it. Here it is. It's time for the news.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, all right. And bring it on.
Ooh, wow.
Well, now that the dust has settled, all the attention will now move on to poor Marley van Breda.
Oh, shame.
Yeah. So a case to hear whether the curatorship of Marley should be extended has been postponed.
Oh.
Yeah, she is the only survivor of the deadly attack that was carried out by her brother in January 2015.
Yes.
Henry, who murdered his parents and older brother and seriously injured Marley.
Yes.
And then advocate Louise Beekman has been Marley van Breda's curator since that incident happened.
No.
Beekman is in the process of finalizing a report requesting that her appointment as curator be extended.
No.
Guys, where are the family members in this instance?
I'm glad they're keeping
Do
quiet.
Do they not get...
It's like the worst Afrikaans family ever.
No, but
uncles, nothing.
I'm asking a genuine question. In an event like this, I don't know who Louise Beekman is.
She's a curator. She's been appointed by the court.
She has no relation here.
No.
So
the court, the three kinds of curator. You want to know about this stuff?
I know about this stuff.
The court can appoint three kinds of curator. You get a curator ad litem, which is a legal curator. That's someone who helps you with your legal affairs because you're incapacitated in that sense. So they usually call in those people when it comes to someone who, let's say you have a lot of administrative issues you have to sort out with the court. There might be custody stuff. There might be wills. There might be all of that kind of thing. A curator ad litem is very specifically appointed just to help you with your legal affairs. If you have a criminal situation or whatever, right? Maybe you're not able to make those decisions for yourself. That's what that kind of curator is. Then you get a curator bonus, which is a curator that is appointed by the state. And they help you with I think, everything to do with your business affairs. Basically, let's say that you were smashed in the head with a tire iron and you couldn't make decisions about...
It's very, very graphic, but
about,
okay.
Very possible.
Sure.
It happens.
Sure.
You needed to make business decisions. Let's say that, you know, you had to have someone take your seat on the board of directors because the tire iron had dented a very large part of your brain. Then you get a curator bonus. Then you get a curator ad personam. A curator ad personam is someone who helps with everything. Curator ad personam is what you get when you're very seriously unable to do anything for yourself, and actually appoint someone who's pretty much there to deal with everything in your life. I think that's more or less right. We may have legal experts in the audience who would be able to help us with more detail around that. But that's what I remember.
So is that because they think that there shouldn't be any family members involved?
No, it's because she's brain damaged. She's actually got... So when it comes to this stuff, she's not in a position to decide. Mm. Or maybe she's very emotional about it. You don't know. But there's some kind of... There's an impediment to her being able to make the decisions for herself, even though she's over the age of 18. So they have this curator to help her, and this is this Birkman woman.
Yeah, so yeah. She was in court yesterday arguing why her position, or rather her appointment as curator, be extended, and the matter was postponed until the 31st of July. So I guess the judge taking some time there to go and think about it, and we'll have a result by the end of next month.
All right.
Now, according to the UN, more than 920,000 people have been displaced inside Syria, and this is only in the first 4 months of 2018.
How many?
920,000 from January to April of this year, and the UN are calling this the highest displacement in that short period of time that they have ever seen since the conflict started. The fresh displacement inside the country brings the number of people internally displaced in the war-ravaged country to 6.2 million since it started.
I mean, that's just, that place must be such hell. Such hell.
Absolutely.
Almost a million people. Good Lord.
Yeah. So just think about those numbers, and you know, people get upset, or they have a lot of things to say when they complain about immigrants and, but just think about that number, 6.2 million people. What would you do if you found yourself in a situation where 6.2 million people were trying to get away from? It must be hell on earth.
Oh, it's horrible. Oh, it's horrible.
Ugh. Yeah.
What a shithole.
Meanwhile, all eyes are on Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un because, you know, when they're not in a big penis-swinging contest, they are actually trying to do something historical. This is through the start of the summit that they are both participating in.
Grab them by the pussy.
The end goal is to end the nuclear standoff in the Korean Peninsula. I was almost
Peninsula.
I did almost say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's to end that standoff on the Korean Peninsula. Should they succeed in making a diplomatic breakthrough, it could bring lasting change to the security landscape of Northeast Asia, like the visit of former U.S. President Richard Nixon to China back in 1972.
Yeah, this would be a big, 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 big tick on the CV of Donald J. Trump. He would be very excited to tell the world, I've brought you peace.
I'm great. I'm the best. I'm the greatest.
Not only am I very rich, but also I have got Kim Jong-un to sign this treaty. And he's going to give up all his nuclear weapons. Yeah. Suck on my tiny little orange penis.
Whoa.
Oh, someone's got to pay. Someone's got to pay up. Otherwise, poor Stormy Daniels is going to be drafted back in.
Ooh. What? So,
she's the porn star that he...
Oh, I don't know why I thought of Kylie's daughter. What? No.
She's Stormy Webster.
Okay, then it's not my fault. Okay, then it's not my fault.
Wow, the Kardashians have a Stormy, huh?
Thank you to Ryan Seacrest Channel for allowing me to know that information.
Very good.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
Well, okay. I mean, you don't have to be that way about it. Some good news, again, coming from here at home. The South African triathlete Mhlengi Gwala, you'll remember him. He was viciously attacked by three men with a chainsaw who underwent leg surgery following that attack that took place in Durban just 3 months ago.
People attacked him and had, like, they hacked his legs off or something.
Now, the 26-year-old was training near the University of KZN back in March, and then he was approached by these three men who pinned him down and tried to saw off his right leg with the chainsaw. Fortunately, he is well on his way to recovery because he revealed just yesterday that he has started walking without crutches. So this is very good news, people. In his own words, things are going back to normal. I was scared to start training, but now I'm feeling much better than before. Today, I started walking without crutches. We like a good ending to what started out as a horrific story.
Good for this guy. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't be able to get their life together after that. A lot of people would fall into depression. They'd be very unhappy about the world. They'd want to blame someone. I just have such admiration for guys like this. I don't know if I could do it, eh? Mm. I don't know. Yesus. He's attacked like this, and we still don't know what the motive was of these nutcases who attacked him. I mean, it could have been the end of his life. He could have bled out there on the road. He certainly probably thought he'd never walk again. And look at him now. What an inspiring dude. I'd love to talk to him, get into his head. All right, anything else?
That's it for now.
All right, that's it for now. We will take your calls and your thoughts. 0861-555-189 is the phone number. If you want to WhatsApp us, 0797482090. We can get to Ben in the sport. There's World Cup just around the corner. We're very excited about that. In fact, I'm going to be taking on my brother in a World Cup quiz at 7 o'clock.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, because Ben put a World Cup question up on his Facebook.
Yeah.
And I saw...
Your brother got it right.
Well, he answered. My brother, he thinks he's this World Cup fundy.
So oh.
He went on there and he answers, and Ben's like, oh, you're so much cleverer than Gareth. And
No, I think you made that assumption yourself. I didn't say such things.
Whatever. The competitive streak is already coming out strong.
So Bitcoin is trading at $6,839.87. Let's not pretend that that's good. That's shit. And Ethereum is even more shit at $531.33. You pieces of shit.
Shitcoin.
Shitcoin. Let's get to Ben. Ben, what do you have for us in the sport this morning?
Well, Gareth, Robbie Williams to perform the opening ceremony in Moscow, despite the fact that the Russians don't like him. A horse test positive for cocaine. Russians also being taught how to smile. And Rusty Erasmus calls up a retired Springbok. It is the World Cup week. It is so close now. Today, of course, being Tuesday, Thursday night sees all the action kick off. And it kicks off with Robbie Williams basically shaking whatever he's got left in entertainment to the eyes of Vladimir Putin and everyone else who'd be at the stadium. He'll be performing alongside Aida Garifullina. Nailed it.
I'm sorry?
She's a Russian soprano. But people believe that Robbie shouldn't be there because he released a song which was called Party Like a Russian, where he depicts the Russians as unsmiling, super rich autocrats who party on super yachts and hire thugs to settle disputes for them.
Oh, I know that song.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Speaking of Russians, they are being taught how to smile. Yep, apparently Russians don't smile. No. And about, well, people who work for FIFA in Russia and people who work for transport agencies have all been taught how to smile. Although the Russians, they've got a proverb that says, laughing for no reason is a sign of stupidity.
Mm.
But they're being taught how to smile because 1.5 million people are going to arrive in Russia and they wouldn't mind if you would maybe just not look like someone's just farted.
Mm. Laughing for no reason is a sign of stupidity in Russia.
Yeah. So things are happening here. Things are happening.
They would think I'm so stupid. I laugh all the time for no reason.
Was that coined by Vlad?
No, I think it's been going for centuries. But a friend of mine went to Russia and she said it was actually amazing. But when spoken about this whole thing about smiling and stuff, it's like, well, why smile? We're friendly people inside. Why must we show it on the outside?
They're not friendly people, though. That's absolute horseshit.
She said they were great. She said they had a great sense of humor. They're very nice people once you get to know them. I suppose it's like serial killers. They're nice people once you get to know them.
Sure, everybody always says when a serial killer strikes, oh, but he was so normal.
Mm. So that, lots happening in Russia, huh? So exciting, so exciting. Now, football's all about money, really. It's a bit like the E! Channel. It's all about money and drama and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So there's been all kinds of different figures being thrown around, like the most valuable players around the world. So if you look at, say, Saudi Arabia, their most valuable player, Yasser Al-Shaarani, he's worth about 22 million rand. And on the other side of the coin, you've got Lionel Messi. He's worth 2.7 billion rand.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there's huge disparity between players. But most interesting, if you look at the squads, now I'll quote this in pounds because there won't be enough money in rands to actually get the whole thing going here. But the French squad is the most valuable squad in all of the World Cup. Their market value of their squad of 23 players is almost £1 billion, £972 million. Their average age is 26, and 69.6% of their players play abroad.
Billions Spain, and billions and billions and billions.
Spain are second place in their squad of 23. Their market value is £930 million.
Sure.
And 26% of their team is abroad. We'll get to that in a second, because today we are featuring Spain as part of our favorites feature. And in Brazil, the third most valuable squad, £882.9 million of what their team is worth. Their average age is 28.6, and 87% of their team play abroad. So as I was saying to you yesterday, this week going into the tournament, I will basically feature the favorites that you need to watch out for. If you are going to put a little sneaky few rand on a team, or you're looking for a favorite to basically know that you're going to watch the best team throughout the tournament, Spain comes into the reckoning for good reason. They are a solid team. They are the 2010 World Cup champions over here in South Africa. They won it. They beat the Hollandish people.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Dutch have gone to shit since then. Haven't
they? Really have.
They're not even in this tournament. They've got a really strong side. They've got a couple of absolute knobheads, of course. Sergio Ramos is their captain, but let's not try to hold that against them. So like I was saying, that they're mostly based in Spain, which is a great thing for Unity, because these guys play with each other week in, week out. Only 26% of their squad members are playing overseas, but they play for good teams, of course. I mean, and then when you say part of 26%, Andres Iniesta has only now just gone to Vissel Kobe in Japan, but he's been playing for Barcelona forever and ever and ever and ever. So within this team, obviously, Real Madrid, Barcelona players everywhere. They've got loads of cohesion, and they've got star qualities all over. They went through a bit of a dip. After obviously 2010, they had that coach look like a drunk Saint Bernard. He finally made way, and the team went through a bit of a blip, but they are just so solid, and they have this amazing cohesion and way of playing that I reckon you look at these guys and you think, in a World Cup which is definitely more open than previous years, we featured Argentina yesterday, and I'm not entirely sure that they can do more than the semi-final. Now obviously you think about Germany and Brazil, we'll get into them tomorrow and Thursday, but Spain for me, maybe the team you want to put some money on. They've got a tough group, no doubt about it. They play Portugal straight up. Portugal in their own merits, they are the current European champions. They've got a good team. They've got Ronaldo. They can also stake claim to being a favorite of sorts. But I think Spain, they just know what to do in these big tournaments. Like I said, they've got a more settled team now, and they've got real amazing playmakers. I mean, they've got Isco, they've got David Silva, they've got even Diego Costa, who, you know, once he gets his head right and takes it out of his own arse, he's actually a decent player, and he can add so much to this team. They've got huge amounts of experience. They've got Gerard Pique, Sergio Busquets, Iniesta, as I mentioned. They've got and they've got David De Gea, who is like the best goalkeeper in the whole world. Well, I think so anyway.
Yeah?
Well, he's been holding Man United together for the last three seasons.
Right.
So this is a bloody good side. Form-wise, they did very well in the European qualifiers. And recently, they hammered Argentina 6-1. 6-1, Gareth. They drew with Germany in March as well. They're a good side. So I would say, cock on block, I'm going to go, these guys are probably going to win it.
All right. That's quite a statement,
Ben. It is quite a statement, Gareth.
That's very strident of you.
There are no fences to sit on here. Okay. Rassie Erasmus has decided to call up Skulk Brits to his box squad right now. And you might say, well, isn't he retired? Yes, you'd be right. But he's not going to really play. I can't see him playing. Bongo Mnambi, I think, played really well over the weekend. They got Aka van der Merwe coming off the bench as your impact player. So the whole plan of bringing Bismarck back was obviously to play and cover the big void left by Malcolm Marx, who's currently injured, but also just to have some old heads around, which definitely helped the younger guys come through. You look at that Bok team right now, there is a lot of fresh faces, a lot of inexperience, so having a guy like Skulk Brits just is going to add so much value. And obviously Russie, who is a experienced campaigner himself, both as a player and a coach, realizes such a thing. So I think it's a really good effort. 37 years old, Skulk Brits, he retired this year from international rugby, or just rugby generally. And he'd be a good guy. Nice guy, too. He was in the same year as school with me. Different school, but same year in the Cape. And he was incredible back then. Basically, he would play and everyone would just watch him. He was that good. Really talented and very nice guy, too. I'm running out of steam here. Not a whole bunch of sports today. what's this guy's name? Sean Roo. So he's the coach of the under-20s. South African team. It is the World Champ time for them, and what normally happens is the young under 20 box, they show some spirit, they show some fight, and ultimately they lose to England. Well, it looks like the same is going to happen, because today they're up against the English, and the English are bloody good at this level. They really have come on leaps and bounds as a rugby force in the last few years. Will the baby box manage to do anything different? Well, they've had to ring quite a few changes, has Sean Roo. So I'm going to go with England keeping things consistent here and beating them. But that match will take place today, so you can look out for it. It's going to be very exciting, no doubt. 7 o'clock, SuperSport 1, if you're watching here in South Africa on South African time. The US Open, of course, is the big draw card this week for golfing people, or people don't really like football that much. Now, even though football is the most popular sport in the whole world, there are some people that could not give a toss about it. Uh-huh. And I will not neglect those people. The US Open, huge, huge draw card this week. Shinnecock Hills. So if you go into the bounce.co.za, you will see things throughout the week. The golf course itself is absolutely incredible. It is a links-style golf course. It's known as one of the best golf courses in the entire world. And the last time it was played there, South African Retief Grossen won that.
Retief.
Yeah, Retief. Cricket, well, England is still sobbing over losing to Scotland. There's, of course, the Ashes coming up, which is hugely exciting. And Channel 9, the Australian broadcast, have decided to bring David Warner into commentary. I mean, I've heard some stupid decisions, mostly coming from using sandpaper on a cricket ball. But bringing David Warner to be a commentator...
Wow.
These guys...
So it gives them a use.
It's like they just love bad press. They just love it. They're tested. I mean, David Warner can barely speak. That's the first thing we should be concerned about here. Right. Secondly, he's a real gobshite. He's only ever says horrible things about people.
Yes.
And now they want critical analysis from him? I mean, did they not learn by just having Shane Warne talking about all the birds he's rooted and all those other guys he hangs out with? Now they want to bring David Warner into it?
Yeah, that's horrible.
Interesting choice. Go Channel 9.
Horrible.
You keep entertaining us with all different things you do.
They should hire Mudley van Bredaar, rather. Probably needs the work.
Slightly better, yeah. Slightly better option, really. And finally, the story that is, well, shaking the horse racing world is that walking in the sun has tested positive for cocaine.
Not walking in the sun. Any horse but walking in the sun. And he's a cokehead?
Well, after the Lingford win back in February, it has turned out that walking in the sun has tested positive for cocaine. And horse, his trainer at the time, I'm not making this up, his name is Horse? The horse trainer. Walking in the Sun's trainer at the time, Jeremy Nosder.
Yes.
Is responsible for presiding over the horse while it took cocaine.
Nosder.
Oh my God, he was an enabler.
Yeah.
This is such a tricky situation because the horse obviously is not ingesting itself with cocaine.
Well, you know, you get put on the one side of the stable with the wrong horses, and before you know it, you're chopping out a couple of lines with their hoof before you run out. Bubs, we can't judge.
Wait, so what do they? What happens?
Competitive sport is very stressful.
What happens to these horses, though? Because we know that the ones who can't run anymore just get shot.
Well, the coke ones have to. Even worse things happen.
Well, this
end
one
up
now.
Selling body parts for coke.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, this one's going to go to rehab, but as for Nosta, he will have a fine. He's had a couple of fines before, and this isn't the first case of a cocaine compound coming through in testing.
Oh, my God.
But horses get tested, and you think, obviously, because horses are the ones that are running, those squeaky-mouthed midgets who ride them aren't exactly going to be tested. I mean, all they've got to weigh is like 40 kilograms and have the spirit of a Jack Russell. No one really cares what else they're putting into their body. But the horses, that's a big deal.
You know...
Oh, wait a minute. The jockeys don't get tested at all?
No, they do. But I mean, I'm saying it's not as important to test them as it's important to test the four legs that are actually running.
Shocking. Wow. Shocking.
And it's very competitive. And of course, there's gambling and horse racing as well. So it's a bit like T20 cricket, essentially. Can't trust it.
Princess Anne is on the line about the horses.
Hello, who's there?
Hi, Anne. Ben, I do the sport.
Hello.
And do you have any sort of recollection from your prime in the horses that any cocaine was used?
I remember riding on a horse for a very long time till my pelvis always snapped in half.
Ouch.
Dreadful. But that horse wasn't on cocaine, no.
And did you use cocaine?
They carry it all the time, but not the horses, no.
Okay. But what if they're dealing with injury or, you know, you got a big race, they got anxiety?
Take it down the back and shoot it in the head with a shotgun.
Whoa.
Wow. So you must have gone through quite a lot of horses
and
then.
Sometimes the children as well.
Jeepers. Jesus, and
I'm sorry, Your Royal Highness is... Ben, I call it Anne.
Well,
fine, I like Ben. He's a sports chap. I didn't mind them, but you see, the other common peasants I have a problem with.
And Anne, have you ever saddled Camilla?
What?
Well, I mean, have you ever given her a run?
I had a horse called Camilla once. I had a horse called every day. I had 7,000 horses. We had to shoot a lot of them.
Okay.
And turn them into pies.
Okay, we got to go. I'm sure you got your next gin and tonic lined up anyway.
All right, very good. Have you got some ammunition on you? Might have to shoot some horses or some people on my way home.
Oh, so angry.
Jeez, what a life.
So we'll see, now we know why horses take cocaine, because you got gun-toting owners around the corner.
Horrible.
So, walk in the sun. We wish you well through this difficult time.
Yes.
And also, don't let this be a gateway to other drugs.
Yes, please.
Oh, walk in the sun.
Because we know it's just a hop, a skip, and a jump until heroin. And
suddenly, it's heroin in the stables.
Jesus. Oh,
it's needles in the mane. Yeah. And that's your sport for today.
All right, well, here's an interesting message. I don't know if this is true or not, but nonetheless, the cause of concern. Spor says, I want to tell you guys about the guy who came in to audition for the show in Tandazo. After it was revealed he sells dick online, I went to look for him and I found him on Twitter. And guess what? He's a catfish.
Mm.
He steals people's dick pics and puts them up as his and his other friends. So yeah, everybody, beware of Ntandazo. He's a catfish.
Now, in order for you to know that somebody's a catfish, you obviously had to do a before and after. So you saw the pictures and then you saw the actual diggadick, and then you realized, oh, looks nothing like the picture.
Right. The actual diggadick.
It's a tricky world we live in.
Good looking out for us, Bosch. Is it Spush? Spore.
Goes around, comes around.
Well, we'll investigate. I mean, thank you for that tip off, Spore. But
that tip off.
All right, let's get to Sia. Said by Sia time. Take it away, Sia. What do you got?
That is so bad. Well, this morning I am simply describing this as the truth. Here's the thing. Sometimes with comedians, we so often just see them in this light of being the funny guys.
Sorry, people are just very excited about Said by Sia.
No. I get more excited, it's fine. I don't need anyone else to be excited. Right. So often we just think of comedians as these funny, go lucky people, and that's just about it. But so often, just like any other human being as well, they have their own highs and lows and they've learned from their own experiences. So here's a clip this morning of Kevin Hart. You know, once you actually think about it, his career has boomed over the past couple of years, but he has many, many more years of struggling and achieving the success that he has now. So in this clip, he really does just talk about the fact that at the end of the day, it's about how much effort you put into something and how you can control proving people wrong just simply by the effort that you put into something and sticking it through for the long haul.
Nobody knows the ability that you have better than you. That's the best thing that I can tell you. Nobody knows what you're capable of more than you. Everybody else can judge you because of what they think or what they may feel. You're the only one that truly knows what you're capable of. So that's a mindset that I've always had, that I've never let go of. So regardless of all the rejection that I had, in the back of my mind, it was always, you'll see. You'll see. And it took a long time. I mean, you're looking at 18 years. 18 years in a business, and the last six of it has been an amazing six. But that other 12, you know, you're looking at some serious grind, some serious blood, sweat, and tears, and figuring it out. So it's not an easy road. Just understand that, you know, eventually you're going to see a light at the end of that tunnel. And when it hit, it's just your job to be prepared for it. So many people want that light, and then they get it, and you're not even prepared. You get it, and you fuck up the one chance that you had.
Sure. Well, he's right. He's 100% right. Who could disagree with him? Look at how well Kevin Hart's doing now.
Exactly.
There's no one in Hollywood who wouldn't want to be him. He's in movies. He does stand-up. He's really, really big friends with all the most important people in Hollywood. I mean, the guy's he's doing really well.
He's the truth. That's why.
Yeah, he's good. There
that's
we are.
Said by Sia for this morning.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. I hope you're ready for a good day here. We've got to get some news in. We've got to talk to... I've got Chrissy Landsberg popping by. She's an actress and model. She's going to come in and say hi. I met her the other night on VOOV, and I'll tell you all about her. We also got Leon Schreiber, who's the author of a book called Coalition Country. He is a very, very smart man who studies this kind of thing. He's got degrees from Princeton and Germany and all over the world, and he studies South African politics, and he's interested particularly in coalition politics. Everybody's talking about the next election, and Leon Schreiber will help us to understand what that next election means for all of us. So stick around for that.
This is CliffCentral.com.